Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, "Then I told them of the hand of my God which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." The title of tonight's message is "Let Us Rise Up and Build." And Father, I pray that you'll bless the preaching tonight. I do ask for your help and your power, and I pray that we will listen carefully, and Lord, that you will give us some things tonight that will help us. Lord, we do not want captivity in our lives. We don't want to have our lives ruined, and we don't want to see the sorrow and the pain. Lord, as a pastor, I tire of seeing so many lives wrecked and ruined, and I know parents don't want that, and really, I don't think any person here has a dream of ruining their life. And yet it happens, Lord. Help us, God, to rise up and build these walls that the Bible talks about. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we covered chapter 2, verses 11 through 20 as we go through the book of Nehemiah. And we covered that pretty much verse by verse, and the title was Planning the Project. Tonight, though, and I mentioned this last week, that and it really is a good thing that I waited to include all this material. Really, I want to key on our walls. And of course, Nehemiah, we are talking about building walls, but the principle is very clear in Scripture as to why these walls needed to be built. Remember, the temple had been rebuilt and the altar had been restored. And so the people had the love of God with the altar and worshiping God, and then walking with God. They had with the rebuilding of the temple. They had the vessels all brought back that had been used and had been taken during the captivity, and so they had restored everything except the walls had to be built. And Nehemiah was heartbroken because the walls weren't built, and the walls not being built meant that it would not be long, and the people would be overcome by the other people, by the world, if you will, and eventually they would sin and go back into captivity. And really, yes, Nehemiah is about building, and Nehemiah is about battling and all of that, but there also, of course, is the message of building the walls. And so I really wanted to key on our walls tonight, and those are walls of separation. We don't like to talk about that. As Christians, we, you know, that word, that's the S word, and we don't like to talk about it. We would rather avoid that kind of a thing. And yet, if you could just understand that those walls of separation, and the word separation is to protect us. It is to separate us from that which is trying to harm us. And I understand, you know, young people always, oh, you know, the preacher's preaching about separation. And immediately it's like this connotation of, well, there goes all the fun. You know, there goes all of our fun. No, let me tell you, there is nothing fun about death. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. And there's nothing fun about what the captivity brought to the children of Israel. There was not a fun thing about their city being totally destroyed and in ruins. Nothing fun about that. And these walls of separation protect us from sin and then captivity. And as it was God's will that the walls of Jerusalem be rebuilt, it is His will that our walls be built as well. And in verse 18, the people were convinced. As we talked about last week, Nehemiah went and he surveyed everything. And in verse 18, the people were convinced. And they said, "Let us rise up and build." Nehemiah was able to convince them that this was God's will. He was able to convince them that that the king was behind him. He was able to convince them that this is something they could do. And they said, "Let's do it. Let's do it." Tonight, I would like to convince a lot of folks about building some walls in your life. I would like to convince you, as Nehemiah did, first of all, I'd like to convince you this is God's will. God wants us to build up some walls of protection. And you know, they're different for different folks. We all have different things that really pull at us and ways that we've fallen in the past. I'm trying to help you tonight. I'm trying to help some parents build some walls. Let me say something, parents. You are responsible for your kids. You are responsible for their lives. And I understand they reach a point in their age when they get older that maybe you don't have that responsibility. But while they're in your home, you need to have some very high walls and some standards, some separation to protect them from the attacks of Satan. And I want to convince you, as the people were convinced here, let us rise up and build. I hope some folks will leave here tonight, and certainly many have, and this church has been established for years, and many folks have some wonderful walls of separation you built to protect yourself, your family, and others you love. But I hope tonight we'll convince some people that, you know, I need to do something about my walls. Maybe we could convince you to maybe build them up a little taller, grab you some bricks, and get on the altar tonight and build them up a little bit taller and protect yourself even more. I just want to give you 4 points tonight, and again, really dealing with our own walls. Number one is view the wall. View the wall. In verse 15, we know Nehemiah, we talked about it last week, then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. We know that he actually made this trip all around the perimeter of where the walls once stood and saw the rubbish and the rubble that was left after Jerusalem was destroyed and the people were taken captive. And I'm telling you, it was a mess. You know, as a pastor, I view many broken walls. As a pastor, I view many broken lives. As a pastor, I don't know if a week goes by in a church this size. I don't think a week goes by that somebody doesn't come in sometime during the week or somebody calls, and usually it's many people whose walls have been broken down, whose lives have been shattered like those in Jerusalem. I don't talk about the captivity and talk about the sin that was involved in the captivity just to hear myself talk. I talk with a broken heart because these are real lives. These are real broken down walls of people's lives where there's sorrow and there's pain. And I want you to, again, as you think about Nehemiah going around and looking at those walls, I'd like you to view your own life and maybe some of the broken down walls in your life tonight. Some of the rubbish and the destruction that I've seen as I've walked the perimeter of people's lives. Just some examples. I've seen the ruins from discouragement. For example, I've seen people commit suicide. I've seen other ruins from discouragement. I've seen people self-mutilate, where they take a knife or a razor blade and cut themselves, or maybe burn themselves, self-mutilation because of discouragement. I've seen the shattered lives, the families destroyed because of people overcome with discouragement. I've seen people lose their jobs over discouragement. And I've seen people become very depressed and literally lock themselves in a room over discouragement and becoming depressed over that. I've seen lots of ruins from discouragement. I walk around as a pastor and I see the ruins from adultery. I see marriages destroyed. I see families destroyed and little children weeping because of adultery. I see ministries absolutely obliterated because of adultery taking place. I see reputations, not only of people, but reputations of ministries and Christians and the cause of Christ destroyed and ruined. I see the rubble and the ruin of fornication. And I mean, in our day and age, it is getting worse and worse, and AIDS is everywhere. And AIDS is very prevalent, and other sexual transmitted diseases. And I see that as I've counseled people with those diseases. I see abortion is rampant. Let me just say this about abortion. Do you understand that very, 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 very few of the abortions that are performed today are happily married couples? Do you know who's getting abortions? The people getting abortions are people who are not married, people who are living in sin, and they do it because that little child will be an inconvenience. I'm saying that those ruins are scattered about the United States of America, and it's because of fornication. It's because of our society being so sex-oriented today. And I'm telling you, the ruins are everywhere, and they're in the church more than they ever have been. I see the ruins of children having children. And oh, we think that's such a cute little thing, and boy, people will talk about it. But I'm telling you, there is nothing right about that, nothing good about that. The walls and the destruction, and they're knocked down. And I imagine as Nehemiah went around and he looked just like the pastor, and maybe as you look tonight, as you view the wall, I see the walls destroyed because of addictions. Families destroyed, lives torn apart, children without both of their parents, addictions. I see jobs lost because of alcohol or because of drugs. I see people's health in jeopardy because of addictions. And I see people without even a brain anymore. People that I grew up with that thought it was okay to smoke marijuana, and their brain's gone. I see friends not having any friends because of addictions. The ruins from crime. All you have to do is go to jail, make a few visits. Our people in the prison ministry will tell you there are people all in the system. And I mean, it is unbelievable. When they tell you our county jail's full, it's full. The prisons are getting full. Why? Because there's so much crime out there. Do you know how much ruin and destruction there is with crime? I mean, people in jail, people in prison. I'm talking about lives of people. I'm thinking about a fella that's writing to me now, and I write back and forth to him. And he's in jail. Probably will be in prison the rest of his life. And as I write to him, I think you know, there's a tendency, and many times I've written to people in jail, there's a tendency to say, well, when you get out, this fella's probably not getting out. And Brother Hawkins, every time I write, I think, what a sad thing. This man's life has been ruined because of some stupid crime. Oh, you look around and lost jobs because of crime. Reputations destroyed because of crime. I think about all the destruction caused by anger, relationships, marriages destroyed, ministries destroyed because of anger. I think of the destruction of gossip. The ruins, as a pastor, as I've walked around the perimeter and seen the fallen walls because of gossip, lives destroyed because of gossip, people's reputations destroyed because of gossip, church spirit destroyed because of gossip. Proverbs 18:8 says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. We're so casual. So casual. And the destruction that is left behind is like Nehemiah must have seen as he saw the gates of Jerusalem, the mighty gates that had been burned and destroyed. I think about the ruins from compromise, where good churches have become liberal. I'm talking about churches that used to run buses, that now that's not a top priority. I'm talking about churches that used to have people saved every year. Now that's not a top priority. I'm talking about churches used to baptize people every year. Now that's not a top priority. You say, boy, it's too bad the church went. Well, I'm going to tell you, before the church went, lots of people went. And the reason lots of people went is because they did not have their walls built. And the enemy came in and absolutely destroyed what was there. You know, I see more and more churches because of compromise that are wanting it your way instead of God's way. And it's all over the United States. The largest churches today are churches that say, hey, we're just going to do whatever you want us to do. We're going to have fun. We're going to have a little rap time. We're going to give you a choice. You can have a play. You can have a rock concert. Whatever you want, just come and enjoy yourself, and you can tell people you went to church. Do you know we're running into more and more people like that, and they are not saved, but that's where they go to church. Now, I'm not mad at the people. I'm just saying, folks, that is not getting the gospel out. And there's destruction. Lives are destroyed. People have a false sense of security, and they're going to die and go to a devil's hell because they're not hearing the truth. I think of the ruins from rebellion, parents' relationship with their children, a teacher's with their student. You know, it should be where there's a good relationship there, but rebellion destroys all of that. That's why God says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It's as a sin of witchcraft. It is as evil and wicked. It has as much of a spell Oh, sure it does. I mean, you have to understand, I talk to the people that are hooked on the music that is rebellious. I look them in the eyes and they look at me like I'm the enemy. I'm not the enemy. They talk to me as if their mom and dad is the enemy. Mom and dad's not the enemy. But they've embraced the enemy because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It has as much of a spell as witchcraft. And the destruction of rebellion, it is so clear today. And people are losing their jobs over rebellion, and they're losing their opportunity to serve over rebellion. I think about the ruins from laziness. And boy, we have a lazy society, folks. I'm telling you, we're in trouble. The poverty. Well, you know, our government is offering, you make more money to stay home and do nothing than you do out here working. But whatever happened to just character? Oh, the ruins from laziness, poverty, loss of family, content with welfare. Look, if you will, real quick, Ecclesiastes 10, verse 18. I haven't really started preaching yet. I am on my points. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 18. Look at it real quick. It says, "By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through." That's America. I mean, that is America. It's laziness, slothfulness, and it's causing destruction everywhere we look. Proverbs 24, verse 30. Proverbs 24 and verse 30. The Bible says, "I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down." You know, that's destruction. That's because of laziness. By the way, a home can become destroyed because of laziness too. A Christian ministry can be destroyed because of laziness. I'm telling you, laziness is a sin that's bringing us down real fast. I think of the sin of loving money and the ruins from people that love money. The love of money, the Bible says, is the root of all evil. And we laugh about that and kind of slough it off like it's no big deal. But I know people that have lost their families over money. I know people that have lost their ministries over money. I'm telling you that I know people who have stopped their growth as a Christian because of money, because money was more important than going to church and then serving God. And they sold out because of money. And the destruction that is there because of money. I'm just walking the perimeter and looking at some walls that are destroyed and some lives and some sorrow and some pain. And of course, divorce has caused its ruin all across America. Family, ministry, relationships, pain, children who are hurting. View the wall tonight. You look, and I just named some things. You look at sin in your life, and you look at what has been destroyed because of it. I wish, and I say this all the time, that I if we could just get people angry at sin. If you just would see it for what it is. If we could just get people to see what is really your enemy tonight. View the wall. Look at the destruction caused by sin. And maybe none of those things apply to you. Maybe several of those things apply to you. Maybe something else applies to you. What has brought sorrow and destruction in your life? View the wall tonight. Number two, review their fall. That was the other thing that Nehemiah did. As Nehemiah went around the perimeter, he analyzed all the weak areas. Ultimately, he knew sin was why everything was destroyed. God had made that very clear. And guess what? We know that as well. We know ultimately that the destruction, the sorrow, all of that in our lives is the direct result of sin. It started with Adam and Eve. But we need to prevent it. And I guess that's the thing. Here's the second chance. Here, you know, captivity was 70 years and now the people are back. And Nehemiah says, "Hey, we need to get the walls built so they'll not ever go back into captivity again. And I think about people's lives, and constantly I'm trying to encourage people. You know, a term that they use a lot in the prisons and jails and everything, recidivism. I like that word. First time I heard it, I liked it. But I don't like necessarily what it means. And they say that if you perform, they've got statistics on all this. If somebody does this, the recidivism rate, in other words, they're probably going to repeat. And I think back to Proverbs about the drunk, and it says, after he's been drunk and all of that, yet will he seek it, or he will seek it yet again. And I think, boy, that's what we do. But somewhere along the line, we must be thinking right. Somewhere along the line, like maybe even on a Sunday night, like maybe the last day of March. No, it's not the last day. Next to the last day of March. Well, that's close. Maybe we're thinking right. Maybe we are thinking and saying, you know what? I don't want to get caught in that thing again. And I don't want to fall to that sin again. And I don't want these walls and all this destruction, and whether it's discouragement or adultery or fornication or addictions or crime or anger or gossip or any of these things. I've decided, you know, tonight I want to make some decisions. I'm reviewing the fall, and I don't want it ever to fall again. Well, that'd be a good thing. And that's why we need to review. Look, if you will, keep your place in Nehemiah. Look over at Hebrews chapter 12. And I made reference to this last week, and but I want to look at it. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." Now notice that. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us." So we need to not only lay aside the weight, and what is the weight? Well, the weight is not necessarily a sin. But we are to lay aside the sin. We're supposed to get away from that thing, whatever it is, it's going to keep us from running our race. And the weight. Anything that's close to keeping us from running our race. Now, immediately, I think about building that wall. Immediately, I think about anything that is out to stop me from doing what God wants me to do. I'm going to protect myself from that. Anyone that is going to try to stop me, anything that is going to try to get me to sin, that's going to bring me pain, bring my family pain, bring others heartache, anything that is going to cause that or try to cause it, I'm going to build up a wall against it. Now listen to me, that is what separation is. That is what it is. I mean, that's a bad thing. No. That is what is going to protect you from the bad thing. And it's time, again, that we stop and we think, okay, this brought me pain. Whether it was a wrong decision, whether it was several wrong decisions, whether it was a lifestyle decision, whatever it might have been, you need to stop and you need to review the fall. And what was it that put you in all that sorrow and all that pain? And decide, I'm not going to do that again, and build walls to protect you. Number one, I said view the wall. Number two, I said review their fall. Number three, renew your call. And notice verse 12, it says this: "I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do." What my God had put in my heart to do. I'm telling you, this is something between you and God. What my God had put in my heart to do. He said in verse 18, I told them in the hand of my God, which was good upon me. You know, God puts it in our heart, then God makes a way to do it. And verse 20, he said, "Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us." I think about areas of my life where I've had to separate myself from the world, because God says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." I think about areas of my life where I've had to literally separate myself, because he says, Come out from among them and be ye separate. Not because he doesn't want us to have fun. Not because he doesn't want us to have a good time. Not because he doesn't understand how we are. No, 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 no. He wants to protect us from that which hurts us. And I think, you know what? It's true. God has called me to do that. God has put that in my heart. And he has made a way, and he will prosper if you will make the decision yourself to build those walls. And I'm telling you, you know, here's what I say. I say phooey on recidivism. Phooey on repeating what you did. Phooey on going back to that old life that hurt you, that brought down your city, that destroyed the things you love. Phooey on going back to that stuff. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to preach about those kinds of things that will help protect you and your family so you don't have to see that sorrow and that pain. Renew your call tonight. I want you to think tonight, what do you want? I don't know of anyone who would say, you know, when I was younger, I dreamed that someday I'd be divorced. I don't know anybody like that. We have a lot of divorced people in here, and I love you as much as anybody else, but I know you did not dream when you were younger that someday you would get divorced. I don't know anybody that would do that. I don't know of anyone who would say, you know what, when I was younger, I just had a dream and a vision that one of these days I could be blessed and go to jail. I don't know anybody like that. I don't know anyone that wants that. I don't know of anyone who'd said, you know, when they were young, I'm just looking forward to the day that I get AIDS. You say, preacher, that's ridiculous. I don't know anybody who says, you know, I'm looking forward to growing up so that I can be in poverty the rest of my life. And just go through the list. I ask you tonight, what do you want? And what does God want? For some, you need to renew your call. Because there was a day you believed what I'm talking about. There was a day you believed all that, but you know, we listen to so much junk out there. Number one, I said, view the wall. Number two, I said, review their fall. Number three, I said, renew your call. And then number four, it's the last point. And that is redo them tall. Redo them tall. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying go the extra row of bricks. You know, most honestly, we live in this day, we have this attitude, well, I'll just try to get by. But just trying to get by doesn't necessarily separate you from the world and that which is out to destroy you. It doesn't necessarily protect you from the attack of Satan in your life to destroy your life. So many. Well, I'm just kind of going, I stay kind of close to both. That is Christianity today. It's very worldly. Redo them tall. You know, I think about all the destruction from discouragement. And boy, I've seen it. I think, you know, build some walls of praise. Praise the Lord. You know, well, I'm just discouraged all the time. Well, wake up praising God. Praise Him during the day. Praise Him at night. Praise Him when things don't go the way you think they should. Build tall walls of praise. I think about Paul saying, whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Well, here's a guy that had been beaten. Here's a fellow that had been stoned. Here's a fellow that had been shipwrecked. Here's a fellow that had been cursed at every which way you could. I mean, I don't know if anybody could have been done any more wrong than Paul, but he said, you know what? I've decided to build up some walls that are real tall, and I call it contentment. And I'm just going to be content. How about with discouragement, building some walls of Romans 8:28, where we know that all things work together for good? I mean, come on, why get so discouraged? You take out a razor blade and carve up your arm? Or you take out a hot iron and burn yourself? Or you take a knife and cut your legs? Why? Why would you go so far? Build some walls to protect you from that attack. It breaks my heart. I've dealt with cutters. My wife and I have dealt with cutters. And I don't know of anything more frustrating as a pastor than for some young person to cut up their body because they say, I'm trying to get rid of the pain. And all it does is bring on more pain. And that's the way to cope. I'm telling you, hey, look, before that ever comes into your life, before it, if you start even, praise God, build that wall of praise. Build that wall up of contentment. Build up the walls and redo them tall where you trust God. All things work together for good, God says. Why can't you believe Him? Because the devil lied to you. That's why you can't believe Him. Trust Him. I think about David. He encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, before David could encourage anybody else, he had to encourage himself in the Lord. Now, I don't know what that is, but I know he had a tall wall there. Because I promise you, he was attacked every direction in this area. And I promise you that the demons of discouragement were after him over and over and over. And people talked about him and they laughed at him and they cursed him. And yet, he encouraged himself in the Lord so that he didn't cut himself. He didn't commit suicide. Oh, I've seen the ruins of people that are in depression and discouragement, and it's not a pretty thing at all. I'm telling you, if you're prone to those kinds of things, you need to build some tall walls. Not just, you know, messing around with it. You need to get serious about this thing. Do you want that pain in your life and your family? Do you want that pain all around you? Build some tall walls. I think about the destruction that's come from adultery, as I mentioned a while ago, as we were viewing the wall. And I think the tall wall that we need is a strong marriage, but we mess around with it. Let me remind you, the Bible says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And just because you're going through the motions with your spouse, that doesn't mean you have a strong marriage. We need strong marriages. Now, I'm talking about Bible marriages, where we're obeying what God says, because Satan is out to destroy your home. And adultery could be the number one killer. Strong marriages. We need people to believe the Bible and what it says. Husband, love your wife. That means she's first, not you. Strong. Wives, submit to your own husband. That doesn't mean you're a slave, but it means he's the boss. We don't like that today, do we? We've been influenced by Women's Lib, ERA, and all that junk. And I'm telling you, we need to get back to solid, strong marriages, or we will see more and more adultery. And it will be people right here. Because we think everything's all right, but it's not all right. You know, did you know you're supposed to be happy in your marriage? Did you know your kids are supposed to see you happy in your marriage? Did you know that that's the way it's supposed to be in your home? Happy, joyful, loving one another. And everybody should know that. But you know what? That's not what your kids say it is in your home. And I'm telling you, some smooth, demonic person's going to come along one of these days, and they're going to snatch your spouse right out from under you. Strong marriage is a tall wall. Some need to start working on it tonight. I mean, you need to get on an altar and you need to say, I need my marriage to be strong. Job said, I've made a covenant with my eyes. Amen. Your thoughts, what we see, we need to be so careful. The chat rooms, I talk about this a lot. I don't know if I've ever been in a chat room. I don't know if I don't think I'd have time. Plus, I type very slow. But I can't even imagine what there is to talk about. I don't understand. But I'm going to tell you what they want to talk about. Yeah. Idle talk with the opposite sex. You need to build walls against that. There should never be a time ever that a man talks with another woman about his wife. Ever. Well, I'm trying to get advice. You're a wimp. If you need help, you come and see your pastor. You go to another, don't you dare go to another woman, because I got news for you, buddy. You're headed for trouble. And women talking to other men about their husband, that's out of hell. But it's happening. It's happening in church. I'd say it's happening here. And it won't be long, and there'll be the sad story, and there'll be all the ruin that comes along with it. We need to build some tall walls. Keep a distance. Amen. I know what I'm talking about. Keep a distance. Be careful what you look at. Be careful what you talk about. Be careful what you think about. Matthew 5:28 says this, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." I didn't write that. God did, but we don't believe it. Pornography today. What do you suppose the pornographers are trying to do besides make money? 2 Peter 2:14 says, "Having eyes full of adultery." I cannot imagine all the adultery that's going on the internet. On the television, in people's living rooms, in front of the television, and magazines, and in church. Having eyes full of adultery. But it is interesting, that verse, it says, "hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." What about her? Well, you know, in our day and age, it's unbelievable the way women dress and don't dress. It is unbelievable. And I often, you know, I think about models and I think about people like that and certainly strippers and all them, how much adultery they are committing as a man lusts after them, and God says that's adultery with her because she brought it on with her attire. You know, the Bible says there is attire of a harlot. That means the clothing of a harlot. There is an outfit that a harlot wears. And that outfit is going to draw attention to what she's selling. And the world knows what that is. And it's everywhere. It's tough for a red-blooded American male who loves God to walk down the street. But I'm going to be honest with you. It's tough sometimes to come to church. We need some tall walls. You know, this idea I'm just going to build it a little bit, you know, a little shorter. Build it tall. Now, you know, I'm young. I'm not young anymore. I'm old. Maybe I'm naive, but I don't understand why a Christian woman would want to show off the things that a harlot wants to show off. I do not understand that. Sit still. It's going to be all right. I mean, it does not make sense to me. Because again, you know, I understand the world doing that. And it's getting worse and worse. And I don't know if we're going to be able to walk down the street someday. It's tough. But why would a Christian woman want to be enclosed so tight that it shows everything she has? I'm asking. Now, if you're like that, you come and explain to me why you wear skin-tight clothes. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like tight clothes because it hurts. I mean, sometimes, you know, and I am starting to lose weight again, but when I'm in the non-losing, going the opposite way weight, when I sit down and the pants are tight, I can't breathe very well. And I think, well, you know, some of the women, you know, they're wrapped tight in that thing. I wonder if they're struggling like I am. Now, I just ask you, why would you do that? I'm not mad at you. I love you. I'm just saying, if you really thought some man was looking at you and committing adultery with you, would you dress like that? I mean, if somehow God could just show you what he's thinking as he looks at your cleavage, because you've got it open for everybody to see. Okay, would you kind of think about that and maybe build some tall walls? Because I don't think anybody here would want to be committing adultery. I just cannot imagine that. I'm just saying, well, you know, I got it built. No, how about way up here so nobody can even peek over the top? And again, the short skirts and the slits that you know, well, my skirt is below the knee, but then your slit goes up to your armpit. And what in the world do you suppose that is saying to people that watch? I promise you, it's not a good testimony for the cause of Christ. And again, I just ask this question. What are you trying to do? Examine why you want to show that to everybody. I'm telling you, tall wall. Go the extra mile instead of just making it. Let's get back to modesty. Let's get back to modesty. The sin of fornication is rampant. It's rampant among teenagers. I forget what the age. I believe Brother William said the age now is 13. 13. 13-year-olds are having sexual relationships. That's wicked. It's out of hell and it's ruining their lives. Oh, they're having a good time, preacher. They're not having a good time. We need to build walls about what we read. We need to build walls about what we watch. We need to build tall walls about what we look at. We need to build tall dating walls. Let me read something to you here. I'm going to whether you let me or not. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians 7. It says, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." I didn't write it. "It is good for a man not to touch a woman. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." Now so verse 1 is obviously not talking about married people. It obviously is talking about unmarried people, and it says it is good for a man not to touch a woman. So I said, "Preacher, where do you get your outdated ideas?" I just get them from the Bible. And we need to build tall walls. That would mean chaperones. That's the way it should be. By the way, parents, you need to build them for your children as they're growing up. Somebody's got to build them for the kids. Conversations need to be clean. You know, tall walls. Guys and girls shouldn't talk about sex among each other. There's no reason for that. Not teenagers. There's no reason for that. But the fornication, it's everywhere. You say, "Preacher, you know, you're old-fashioned." Yes, I am. But more than that, I don't like AIDS. And I don't like all the disease. And I certainly hate it when somebody comes in my office and says, "Preacher, I have a disease." And I certainly don't like it. And it has happened when some young lady in the church comes to my office and says, I'm expecting a child. And it breaks my heart. It's a sad thing. And I think of all the destruction that's going to come because of that. Build a tall wall in that area of your life. Build a tall wall. You know, I was thinking about Brenda and I went to Culver's the other day, and Brett and Becky were having a date. And they were sitting there eating and talking. And, you know, Brett, now he talks a lot now. You know, Brett's always been real quiet, I thought. And, well, they were just having a wonderful time talking. And sure enough, the date ended and they left. And I kind of watched, you know, and he got in his car. Well, no, first he opened her car door and let her in her car. And then he got in his car and they drove off separately. And I thought, glory to God. Well, they're missing out. No, you're missing out. Anybody can do what you're doing. Anybody can be what you are. I'll tell you what, you can't, once you've crossed the line, you can't be what they are. Hello? We need to have tall walls. Tall walls. Protect ourselves. That's what I try to do. I think of addictions. You know, you've had problems with smoking, you've had problems with drinking, drugs, whatever it is. Okay, build some tall walls. Run with a different crowd. That's a tall wall. Go to places that don't serve alcohol. Don't go somewhere where they serve liquor. Stay away from those places. I mean, build a tall wall. Certainly you don't drink socially if you've been an alcoholic. You know, to not go downhill, avoid the hill. It amazes me how people, you know, they'll get so close to it. Add some bricks to your wall and avoid that stuff. It ruined your life. Same with crime. Stay away from the wrong crowd. Avoid peer pressure. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. And don't worry about what everybody else has. And you know, another thing that is a tall wall against crime is work. Work. I know it's a four-letter word, but it is work. You know, people that work, you put in 12 hours a day, you don't have time to go get drunk in the back of one of our buses. Yeah, some punks got in one of our buses and had them an alcohol party and left the alcohol. Yeah, you know, if they worked 12 hours a day, they wouldn't feel like doing that at night. Yeah, you know, work, it's a good idea. It's a tall wall against crime. And how about being thankful? That's another tall wall against crime. And how about being content with what you have? There's a tall wall against crime. You know, as you're walking in the store and you're tempted to steal something, why don't you just be content with what God's given you instead of stealing what belongs to somebody else? Amen. How about anger that has left all kinds of destruction? Build some tall walls about that. And how about a tall wall of confessing to God that anger is sin? Oh, no, no, I'm a redhead. I'm supposed to be. No, it's sin. Oh, no, you don't understand. I'm Irish. No, 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 it's sin. God says, be ye angry and sin not. So there is some anger we're allowed to have, like getting mad at sin, as Jesus did when he cleansed the temple. But the truth of the matter is, we need to really build some tall walls against anger. Because I'm telling you, you shoot off your mouth at your wife, you say unbelievable things. You say unbelievable things to kids. You say things, and I mean, how many of you hear these words? Don't raise your hand. But you hear these words over and over. Well, I didn't mean it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You need to get your heart right and build a tall wall against anger. Confess your sin to God. Call it what it is and recognize it for what it is. Walk with God and give Him control of your life. Stay away from opportunities of anger. Kind of like the pastor that I know of that had to quit coaching basketball. I'm serious about that. He quit. He had to. He was a terrible testimony. He got so angry. I mean, it was unbelievable. And some of you know who he is. And he had to quit coaching basketball because of his very, very poor spirit. And by the way, he made the right choice. He built a tall wall. That's a good thing. Look at Proverbs 19, verse 11. I'm a lot closer to being done than you think. Proverbs 19, verse 11. Some of you are getting that worried look on your face. The Bible says that the discretion of a man deferreth his anger. And it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Well, that's a good verse. The discretion of a man. What's that mean? That's a man that carefully analyzes the situation. He's careful about it. He analyzes it. By the way, that might mean you might have to walk out of the room. That's a tall wall to protect you. That's a tall wall that's going to save you heartache. That's a tall wall where you are careful and you analyze the situation. The Bible says, slow to anger. The tall wall of discretion, it defers, it postpones that thing. And you notice here about this, it says that it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Boy, wouldn't that be something to pass over a wrong? Huh? Well, I always explode! Yeah, wouldn't that be something if you didn't? And you just passed over that. Your family might pass out. But wouldn't that be biblical? Wouldn't that save a lot of pain? and heartache and hurt, to actually give people that you say you love the benefit of the doubt, we need to build some tall walls about anger. How about gossip? You know, the first thing I think of when I think about gossip is the tall wall is to avoid gossips. Some of you would have to avoid yourself. Proverbs 20:19, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Watch what it says, though. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Proverbs 26 and verse 20. Scripture is full of things about gossip, and yet it is one of the biggest problems in so many churches. The Bible says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. You have strife in your life? Stay away from the talebearer. The fire goes out. Amen. 2 Thessalonians 3:11. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 11. The Bible says, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Notice that? Disorderly, they're out of order. That means they're not in their place. That's where most gossip takes place, when people aren't in their place. Sometimes it's because they're not in a Sunday school class. Oh, a lot of gossip takes place during that hour. I think of all the Bible being taught and all the Scripture being learned and all the good things that are happening, how much disorderly things take place because people are out of order, not in their place. That's going to change. Notice what else it says, working not at all. That's true too. That's where a lot of gossip takes place, people that don't work. Hello? You see people, you see folks. You know, you're driving down the street. This is so true in Louisiana. And we'd drive down the road, and there'd be these big group of people on a Monday when everybody's at work, but they're not working because they're all on welfare. And they're just sitting around, and you can just, if you walked up, you could just hear them talking about everything going on all around the neighborhood. Yeah, working not at all. Huh? They're busybodies, God said. Sounded like that. The only person who wouldn't like it would be one. 1 Peter 4:15. That's why I have total confidence nobody will approach me about this. But when they approach you, they just showed you their identification tag. You know, every now and then, I don't mind the quiet. 1 Peter 4, verse 15, it says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Murderers, thieves, and evildoers, and then busybodies. They're together. Isn't that something? I didn't write it. God did. God did. Proverbs 17:9. Seriously, I'm really closer to being done than I was when I started. Proverbs 7, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Notice that. Well, I heard this. You're repeating a matter. Proverbs 6 and verse 19. Again, I'm talking about building tall walls and the damage and destruction that comes if we don't. Proverbs 6:19, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. God says that is an abomination to him. Avoid gossips. Avoid gossip areas like break rooms. Boy, be careful at work. Chat rooms, gossip areas. Idle areas where people are doing nothing. Blogs, be careful. Be careful. A church nursery could be. By the way, here's one of the best tall walls against gossip you could have is just pray for everybody. You won't talk about them if you pray for them. Talk to God about it. And then there's compromise. A tall wall against compromise is preaching and teaching the truth, getting people to read their Bibles, getting people to pray, getting people to abide in Christ. Boy, that'll do away with compromise. Compromise, watch out for your indebtedness, because I'll tell you, money will pull at us to sell out. and to go a different direction. That's why these great, great churches, so many of them, ended up totally liberal today because of money. Be careful of obligations. I'll go with you if you go with me. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Don't watch or listen or read that which is belongs to those who are not like what you want to be. I'm serious. I'm amazed. My wife and I, we were trying to watch Andy Griffith the other day, and we were on that one channel. And all of a sudden, instead of Andy Griffith, I went back to that channel, and there was this woman preaching. Now, if I said her name, some of you listened to her. And in my mind, I'm thinking, absolutely, completely, totally ridiculous that any independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist would turn on that garbage. Well, it's the Bible, not a woman doing it. Bible says a pastor is to be the husband of one wife. And so my wife said, well, wait a minute. What? See if there's any men there. Oh, there were lots of men there. I'm thinking, what in the world? I'm sorry, I said men. I didn't mean men. I don't know what they are. I'm going to tell somebody. Tell everybody. I'd love to sit across from somebody and have them explain to me what in the world they're doing listening to a woman preacher. But that's our day. That's what Isaiah said was going to happen in the last days. The women will be the leaders. Who's running for president? Hello. Thank you. I thought it was Willy Wonka. We need a tall wall against rebellion. We need to avoid rebellious people. We need to avoid rebellious things, rap, rock, blogs, all that kind of stuff. You need to be careful. Rebellion against our government, rebellion against authority. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you read. Build tall walls. There are groups out there that say, hey, we want peace and we want it our way. That's not peace. The terrorists want peace. But they want to take away our freedom to get their peace. Oh, the terrorists are such peaceful people. Yeah, yeah, once our heads are all cut off, they'll be real peaceful. You know, Satan, all you have to do is read about Satan. And basically, you could sum up what he thought this way. I deserve. And that sounds like much of America today. Sounds like a lot of unions. Oh, just settle down. The society we live in and the teaching of our day is, what's in it for me? And that is ungodly and it's not right. Rebellion. It's as the sin of witchcraft and it works just like witchcraft. Selfishness. That's what rebellion is. What about me? What about me? What about me? You know, I've just about seen my last teenager smart off to an adult. I'm telling you, it drives me nuts. It is rebellion. And the roll in the eyes thing, I'm going to start praying eyes stick. You're going to be walking around like this all your life. Somebody says to you, what's up? You'll say everything. Amen. Tall wall against laziness is to get a vision. To get a vision. Tall wall against laziness is to not be satisfied with welfare. A tall wall against laziness is to consider it a sin. Bible says if a man doesn't provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. That's an unbeliever. Laziness. Build tall walls to protect you from that. Do all the Bible says to the glory of God. Tall wall against loving money is to protect your heart. I'm telling you, it'll get after everybody. Have the right priorities. Give. Give, give, give. Be content. And humility. Understand, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. If you have money, God gave you the power to earn wealth. Yeah. tall walls. I could go on and on. Let me just say that. I'll close with this. Divorce. Build tall walls. Marry right. I cannot overemphasize marrying right. By the way, in order to marry right, you better date right. Counsel before. There is wisdom in a multitude of counselors. And I'm telling you, you need to trust people that know you. You need to trust people. You need to trust your preacher. You need to trust your Sunday school teachers. You need to trust those around you that know you, your parents. You need to trust them. They know you. Oh, he's cute. Cute doesn't last. Ask my wife. I'm telling you. Tall walls. Protect yourself. Tall walls. Husband, love your wife. Wife, submit to your husband. Counsel. Tall walls. You see, these walls, this separation thing, and I know some people, you know, you're probably not real happy right now, but I promise you this. You will never be happy when your walls crash and your city's destroyed and your life is a wreck. You're not going to be happy then. And your life is so important, and it's important to me. And I want your life to turn out right. And these young people, I want their lives to turn out right. And our homes, I want it to turn out right. And I know you want that deep down. Build tall walls. Whatever it is in your life, and I didn't name everything, good night, that's impossible. Whatever it is in your life where you have failed and you have lost the battle and you gave in and there was something destroyed, something taken from you, something terrible that happened. Listen to me. Now is the time that you build those walls tall. And parents, build tall walls for your family and protect yourselves. Because I'm telling you, Satan's doing everything he can, just like Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem in the book of Nehemiah. He's doing everything he can to get you from building, to keep you from building those walls. Because if you don't build any walls of separation, it won't be long. And there will be destruction and sorrow and pain again. Let's bow our heads, please.